by for Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors with your host, Drew Kirby.
Hey, this is Luke Holmes.
I am Morgan Wallen.
I'm Riley Green.
I'm Travis Denning.
Hey, I'm Aaron Lewis.
Hey, it's Luke Bryan.
I'm Tim McGraw.
What's up? This is Ian Munsick.
Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.
Welcome back. It's Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors. And as always, we like to bring in Janet and Brian from Wyoming Game and Fish Department to, you know, give information. And Janet, over the last couple of weeks, we've been talking a lot about getting out in the outdoors and doing hunting and filling your tags. Last week, we talked with Benfit about some of the great recipes and some of the ways you like to eat your wild game and process it up. So we thought this week would be great to bring in some pros.
That's right. You know, Justin likes to think that he is the expert on a lot of things, but sometimes he is not. Therefore, we did bring in the experts, and we have a couple folks with us today from Dan's Meat. You know, there's a lot of people that harvest and process their own game, and then there's a lot of people, probably the majority of people, actually harvest their wild game, and then they take it to a meat processor to actually get processed. You know, they can determine the cuts of meat that they want, but there's a lot of key things that can go into making your harvest that much better. And so we have Jennifer and Josh with us here from Dan's Meat, and Brian can chime in as well. And we want to talk a little bit about some do's and don'ts that will help you in the field when you get to the processor.
Yeah, you know, one thing the rumors that fly around how you shoot your deer or your antelope and how you process it is, well, if they're running, you don't want to shoot them. You want to wait for them to stop if their adrenaline is pumping. And can you kind of debunk this or back this factor up that really does play a role in how the meat will come out at the end, Josh?
Absolutely. You know, if you're out antelope hunting, you know, they've been on the run all day. It is going to affect the meat a little bit. You know, the preferred shot absolutely is a standing shot. When they're running, a lot of times they don't lead far enough ahead, so they end up shooting them in the hindquarters or gut shot. It's not as bad as everybody thinks. Yeah, the adrenaline is pumping through. As long as you get them down, gutted, skinned, you know, cleaned out, cooled down, you're going to be just fine.
What time frame is best? I know sometimes you make a shot and you have to pull out because it you may have to let the animal expire. But if your animal is down, how quickly should you be, you know, getting that meat cool down and on ice?
Oh, as soon as possible. The very first thing to go bad on any animal or any living creature really is blood. If you don't get them bled out, get them gutted, that's going to, especially during the heat, antelope season, you know, right in the middle of the end of summer here, you know, so the blood will start turning bad very quick. You know, you got to get the insides out, and that's from front to back, you know. That we get a lot of animals that come in, they still have the anus in them, the tracheas in them, you know, and bacteria grow in the whole entire digestive tract. So if you leave any parts of those in, especially in the heat, the bacteria are going to multiply. So
if an animal is down, not dead, and will it start to rot before it expires?
Oh, absolutely. It fevers, you know, it, just like a human. You know, it goes into shock, and the bacteria do start to grow. Absolutely. But like I said, you know, the heart's still pumping, the animal's still alive. It's dying slowly, and it's no fault of the hunter. You know, I mean, it happens, but it's usually, like I said, an overnight thing. And even when it's cold outside, you know, that animal with that heart beating, the heat's still in there, has no way to escape. So yeah, it will immediately start rigor mortis everything, you know, as soon as they die. So
Jennifer, are you seeing any things this year where maybe people need to adjust what they're doing because of the situations and the way the meat's coming in?
We've had a lot of animals come in spoiled this year because of that. And they're not taking care of what they need to be. I think they're trying to save it. We've got a couple of people who would want us to process it, even though it's been done. I think that people don't understand that once we've processed it or we bring it in, it infects everybody else's meat.
So if someone really delays when they get the meat to the processor, it could affect a lot of people then.
if they come in molded, we really don't like to put it. We have to take the mold off. We don't put it in the coolers because of the spores. We are finding that people are doing that, but that's why we're here, so that people know that keep it cool, quarter it out, keep it on ice. I think people worry about waterlog, freezing their meat, that it's not good, but sometimes people don't have that option. I don't think it affects the meat anymore. Do you, Josh?
Yeah, I mean, just the frozen once in a while, but if that's their means, that's fine.
Yeah.
You know, bringing it in frozen, we prefer, you know, on ice, let the cooler drain, change the ice out.
So do you guys prefer like a whole carcass with the bones in and everything, or do you guys prefer that customers bring it in boned out prior to processing?
Good question. Boned out. Boned out gives us a headache.
Yeah.
It's a lot of extra work. I know there's guys out there who pack 12 miles in and have to pack out. But when you do it, it's pre-processing at some point, and then you bring us pieces that have been rolled in dirt, and now we've got to go through every nook and cranny. And then if you've held on to it for too long, then we have to reskin the whole animal. Everything, every little tiny piece has to be reskinned, and you lose a lot. You think you're saving some, but you're losing a lot.
Some processors won't even accept boneless meat anymore because, you know, and it's not the boneless meat. It's the entire elk that's boned out that we don't like, you know, front quarters and hind quarters. Leave the femur bone in. You don't have to take all of it out.
Why is that a big deal?
My biggest thing is they don't take a tarp with them or a gallon of water. I know they're packing in, they're hiking, but they bone it out. They just throw it on the ground. What happens is they pile all that together in their packs. They bring it back to camp and then it sits there for a day before they come in, you know, or 4 days, depending on their trip. By the time it gets to us, everything's dried all the way around the meat. Not boned out, you deal with just the outside of the meat. You know, if you're going to quarter it, leave the hide on. That's going to protect the meat, you know, but they take it all off, pack it together. So now everything's filthy. But once it's dried into after you've skinned, there's a silver lining around all the muscle. And once the dirt and everything gets into that, it dries. You're not getting it out. It's impossible. And we get it though.
You know? We understand people can't go in and take their truck.
Yeah.
We get that. But in that case, if you have to do that, take it home, take it out of your packs, clean it yourself a little bit, and then bring it in. That helps us a lot. When we get deboned meat, it goes a long way when it says that you guys have cleaned it and done the work yourself at some point before we get to it.
What else would you think that people should know before they go? Like, what else should they take in preparation to help you guys?
Water bottles. I mean, everybody's got a vehicle. So even if you're walking somewhere to go get that vehicle or go get the animal, you're going to come back to your vehicle. If you have water bottles in there, you can clean some of your carcass. You can clean your hands, obviously, or call the processor, make sure you find out if they're full. Because if we're full, we're going to tell you, you're going to have to hang it somewhere. Keep it cool. And I would say reservations. When you call and I tell you I'm full, don't make a reservation for an animal that's not dead, because now you're taking a spot that may be you. It may be somebody who made a reservation and you have an animal dead and I can't get it in because someone's made a reservation spot because they think they're going to get it. And then I go through the list every night and call and make sure that they're coming in the next day. And then they're like, oh, I didn't get it today. Sorry. Go ahead and take me off the list. Okay. But now I held that spot. And I'm on I'm 5 days from now because I've got those spots taken.
Okay.
So it doesn't help anybody.
I've seen a lot of videos going around where guys are moving to the gutless type of field dressing. And what are your thoughts on that? Does that hurt or help the process?
Oh, that's fine. That's not any different than just quartering an animal. You know, they don't get their full tenderloins out. You know, and they don't get their side meat. Most of them don't get their neck meat. But it's completely legal and it's less mess. Yeah, it's no different than just gutting and quartering. So it's pretty much the same.
So basically, that's just a time saving method of the harvest. If you're not gutting the
pretty much.
What about on some of the smaller animals? You know, like if it's an antelope, are you seeing folks that are doing the gutless method there too?
We've seen a lot of quartered up antelope this year.
So it's really becoming more popular with not just elk.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, quartering an antelope, the problem therein arises that, you know, they don't skin it, you know, out in the field. And if they do skin it, you know, it does come in dirty. But here nor there, you know, quartering an antelope in the middle of the heat, getting in a cooler on ice, that's absolutely, you're going to protect your meat a lot better that way.
Under game fish regulations, the hunter has to retrieve the meat from the field, and that would include your front shoulders, your hindquarters, your back straps, and your tenderloins. So even if you do the gutless method, you still need to sneak in there and grab both tenderloins. It's really, really simple to do. Once you've done it once, you can actually slip in on the backs, you know, on the back of it, and actually cut those tenderloins out, even in the gutless method. But the best way to do it is after you've taken everything else off and you have that meat, of course, away from, then you can slip in and grab those two tenderloins. But that is a requirement to have. It is frequent enough that people do not take those out because they're doing the quartering method, that they're not aware that that's part of a requirement to legally take from your game when you harvest it.
So Brian, from the game and fish stance, would it be better to go with the gutting method and then that way you know what you're getting?
No, I mean, I actually do it myself for me, especially for deer and antelope. It's pretty simple. And it's actually, like they're saying, if you can keep the meat clean, you can actually skin each leg at a time and quarter that out. I mean, the first thing you do is just skin one leg, and then you pull it off the meat and you lay it on a tarp so it doesn't get all dirty. And then you go, you skin up to the, you know, the front shoulder and do that. And then, like I say, while you're on that side, you might as well take the back straps off. And then you got all that done, then you flip it over and do the same thing.
Josh and Jennifer, are you guys seeing where people are bringing their animal to you, and are they wanting a plethora of different cuts of meat, or are a lot of people just grinding it down and saying, give me burger right now? They just want to get as much meat in the freezer as possible.
I'd say a little bit of both. Most, I mean, we got a lot of those that are keeping their own steaks and doing their own backstraps and tenders and stuff, and just want burger. In the last couple of years, it's been more about people wanting to put freezer meat in the freezer and keep their family fed.
You bring up that program, and do you feel like it's still a prominent program and people are benefiting from it?
The program is an awesome program. In the very beginning, we had a lot of donations, but I've noticed in the last couple of years, it's kind of dropped because people are actually keeping their animals these last couple of years and benefit from it.
And so for listeners that don't know, the program that Jennifer is talking about is called Food from the Field. And it is a program that was started by First Lady Jenny Gordon. And it's a fantastic opportunity for hunters that maybe don't choose to eat their meat to donate that wild game meat through a donation program. And it's really fantastic. And I highly encourage hunters who still want to get out and hunt, but maybe just don't eat as much meat as they used to really kind of get online and find out the details. And Dan's Meat is one of the processors that will do the processing and donate the meat down to anyone who is on the list. And if you are interested in meat, don't hesitate to get on the list as well.
Jennifer and Josh from Dan's Meat Processing, and I know that you guys are really busy. The We're Full sign has been out, but what should folks do if they're planning on harvesting an animal and need to bring it into you?
You check an in, call. You know, like I said, people drop off the list because they've taken it somewhere else or they've decided to process it themselves. Absolutely call. We're pretty open.
Well, you know, that's really kind of, well, and that's really cool. You guys are open. You know, you want to help people. You want to make sure that they get the best out of their animal as possible. And that really shows because people keep coming back to you and keeping you busy.
I want to tell our customers that we wouldn't be where we're at if we didn't have them. So those guys, what they do really keeps everybody going. Everything that's happening in the meat processing world, if we didn't have these little powwows and these kind of talks, but those customers, they're the ones that keep us going. So keep doing what you do.
Absolutely. Well said, Jennifer. Hey, Josh, Jennifer, stick around. I want to go through the actual process of what it takes for when someone harvests an animal and comes to see you. So let's cover that in just a few minutes here on Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.
It's Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.
And we're back, Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors. And this is a show that we've, like Janet said earlier, wanted to have for a while. And luckily, Jennifer and Josh from Dan's Meat Processing have agreed to come on the show and really give us the behind-the-scenes look at what needs to happen when your animal is down and you're ready to take it in to the processor. And Jennifer, let's start with you, because you're going to be the person that when a hunter calls or shows up, they're going to be the first person that they see and talk to.
Yep, they get to come in. We do some paperwork. They fill out some game and fish paperwork board on our cold storage, and then we do their cuts, which is we take their tag, their carcass coupon, and tag every piece that comes in with their name on it. Hook it, and then we've got a pretty cool rail system that goes from one end to the other, kind of like a train, goes into the cooler, and then when your time's up, it gets to Josh's room, and Josh.
So yeah, it comes down, we take a look at the cutting instructions, cutting sheet, I break it down, get it on the table, we debone everything, we go through the front shoulder shot, if it's a hindquarter shot, make sure all the blood shots pulled out, any bone, bullets. Archery season, we pull broadheads. They get in the animal, they get stuck in a bone. You know, we try to recover those for the hunter. Then we do all the trimming, make sure everything's clean, goes into a trim bucket, cut your steaks, make your roasts, send it down to the grinder, grind your hamburger, and then we send it back over to Jen and her ladies.
Then we get it and we pack it and sing songs while we pack it. We have fun while we're there.
And that's when you listen to Drew, right?
Yes,
right.
We do.
Yes, we do listen to a lot of Drew, and we pack it and with love. We pack it the way you want it. That's
yep.
And it's one animal on the table at a time.
Yep. We do one at beginning to end. Yep. So,
how many do you typically process in one day?
Depends, size wise. You know, if we're doing elk and antelope or deer, you know, we can process 6-7 elk. 14, 15, 16 deer, antelope. It just varies. We do everything from buffalo all the way down to, tiny little antelope.
Josh, let me ask you real quick. So Jennifer brings the customer in and says, okay, what cuts do you want? So like, what are the options when somebody brings an elk in that they get to choose from? Do they have something in their mind already most times, or is it something that you have a list and then they can just kind of check what they want?
Yeah, I mean, everybody that comes in usually has done this before, but we do have a cutting sheet. And on that cutting sheet, we've got, your typical steaks, loins, tenders, roasts, hamburger at the top. And then down below, we do the specialty stuff. We do sausages, breakfast sausages. We do logs, sticks out of your own meat. There's a whole list Jen goes through with the customer, and gives them their options. So, and she doesn't rush anybody, she'll go through and explain anything that needs to explain to them. And they make their choices.
I spend a lot of time with the customer, because like you said, the customer is the one who's got us where we're at. So, it's important to hear what they need, what they want, what's important for their family, and what's more, economical for them.
So if someone wanted to add sticks and, maybe a log or something like that, does that make the process a little longer? Does it take a little longer then?
Yeah. If we're going to make a product, I always tell everybody 2 months. Of course, then we've got Thanksgiving coming up and Christmas. So at Thanksgiving time, the smokehouse is pretty much dedicated to turkeys and hams at that time. And then we go into Christmas time, which is mostly turkeys, but I can get back on the list in doing so. By the end of March, I would say, is when most of the product for wild game is out the door.
So,
and that is just the stuff that you're making,
right?
For
making
them.
For yes. them. Yes. Yes.
They
if you're doing a specialty, sticks, logs, wieners, any of those types of things, your breakfast sausage is going to come to you when you're doing your animal, but it does take some time.
So if you're just doing steaks and burger and roast, I mean, are we talking a week?
Yeah, and I would say a week and a half, because once we've got, you know, we're doing invoices at the end of the day, it really takes a lot of people and a good crew to be able to make everything manage and work as a whole.
And to have a little patience on the customer side too, because there's a lot of work that goes into it, especially this time of year when you have a whole, you know, cooler full of meat ready to be butchered up.
Yeah. And most people are pretty patient. I don't really have a whole lot of people that are impatient. And if they are, they call, you know, and explain, and they're right back to being settled down. So,
and anyone who has butchered their own animal knows that it takes hours, if not days. Mm-hmm. And so the appreciation of someone else kind of taking on a lot of that work is also adds to a lot of the, like, oh no, take your time. You guys have it for longer than I need. You're good.
Well, Josh, Jennifer, we appreciate it. And I know that there are a lot of people that kind of have thought, well, I drop it off, then what happens? So now I think they have a little better understanding, and maybe they'll, you know, pre-plan a little bit before they come in and kind of speed the process up.
Yeah, I welcome anybody who wants to come in and look at our process and see things. We're a little busy right now, but you can definitely come in and I'll do a little quick tour real fast, and so you can see how things work.
Come meet me.
There you go. Yeah, because Josh is always in the back. He's never up front. Yeah.
I don't get much customer interaction. I'm like the redheaded stepchild.
Josh is like, come on, guys. Come see me, please.
Come see me. I'm in the back.
It's fun. Believe me.
Very good. Well, guys, thank you again for coming on the show. And I really look forward to maybe having you back on maybe at the end of the season to see how it went.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
For sure. Thank you.
Thank you.
It's Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.
It's Drew along with Brian Woodward from Rocky Mountain Discount Sports. And Brian, the weather has been a little different since the last time we spoke. And rain, snow up on the mountain, cold weather, and really making for a really difficult, you know, first couple of weeks of rifle season.
Yeah, this last week had definitely some sloppy days in the field for some of these hunters and anglers too. But yeah, talked to quite a few guys on Wednesday afternoon that were out doing some big game hunting, and got caught in that rainstorm, which turned into hail, which turned into sleet, which turned into wish they had a sled to pull their animal. Yeah.
Well, you know, it's funny. You can get all those things here at Rocky Mountain Discount Sports.
You can, certainly.
You know, and we really talk a lot about you got to be prepared for anything, because you never know how it's going to be.
Right.
We all kind of knew that weather was going to move in, but it was questionable what it was really going to happen.
Sure.
Where, you know, Casper Mountain and on the other side of Muddy Mountain, I mean, you're in snow right now. We were looking at the pictures and camera up there, and there's snow up there.
Yeah, you know, on Thursday morning, I guess, you know, there was 3 or 4 inches by 7 o'clock in the morning. And, you know, it's supposed to, you know, be in a warming trend. And I think that we'll probably see that. But that doesn't mean that, you know, you had 2 days, Thursday, Friday, to try to beat some of the weekenders up there. And now you're fighting weather to go along with it.
You know, and that really leads us back to the being prepared. Because if you were in Casper, it was raining and kind of cool. If you weren't expecting going up and around and getting into snow, boy, to have your truck prepared with, you know, your boots and your warmer clothes.
Well, yeah, it was just a week ago that, you know, we're up there hauling out a friend's daughter's elk, and we were in T-shirts, you know.
Right.
And so, you know, if you're not layered properly or not watching the weather forecast, watching, you know, the radar and seeing what's going on. You know, I had another friend that was up grouse hunting about a month ago, and he was up there with his dogs and all of a sudden got stuck in a hailstorm. And, you know, he hunkered over to kind of protect the dogs, but his back was pelted, bruised from hail, you know, just to kind of keep his dogs protected.
So, you know, being prepared for whatever you're going to do this season, if it's heading out, well, I think duck season's closing as of today, I believe, right?
I think so, in this area. Yeah.
And then we get back into goose and duck in November, and then the elk season is still just really fresh, because in some areas it just opened This weekend.
Yeah, this weekend. So, yeah, just, you know, got to really keep track of, I mean, I almost have a calendar kind of, you know, like of what dates are opening up, because especially with waterfowl, there's so many splits, you know, to extend that season. And they split it so that ducks open, then goose is open, you know, and I always like to use those splits to, you know, give myself the opportunity to, you know, go harvest my elk.
I have seen with a lot of veterans and HD Outdoors, I know that, you know, we've done a lot with them over the years, and our old buddy Bud went out and got a big mule deer with HD Outdoors this week. So there are some pretty big animals being being taken, and it's kind of cool to see.
Yeah, you know, it's great to hear. You know, we've had a lot of out-of-staters in and out of the store, and, you know, a lot of times they're here for a four-day trip, and they harvest their animal the first or second day. So, you know, a lot of twiddling their thumbs or trying to book other trips. And, you know, last week I had the chance to take a guy and his father-in-law out fishing. And it's kind of nice that, you know, when these out-of-staters are here, that they can kind of experience some different aspects of it, whether it's floating the river or maybe walleye fishing, or, you know, maybe going and visiting the indoor range or something. So
yeah, and then obviously, as long as you send those out of towners to Rocky Mountain Discount Sports, you guys can get them hooked up with all of the different licenses. If maybe they wanted to head it out to a river bend and shoot some pheasants, or, you know, find someone to take them out duck hunting, they got to get all their stuff and they can get it here.
Yeah, and we actually went out to River Bend this last week and just kind of played around, took the new pup out and just explore that. And the cover that they have out there this year is fantastic. So it might be a little bit tougher hunting than normal, just because there's more places for those critters to hide. But I'm looking forward to a pretty exciting year out there.
Now, come on in and check it out here, Rocky Mountain Discount Sports. Make sure you have all your equipment, whether it's cold weather gear or maybe rain gear, because we've been seeing some rain falling. So having that extra poncho maybe in your backpack to be prepared.
Yeah, just especially if it's, you know, maybe you don't have to have a $500 pair of Sitka, you know, rain gear, but, you know, just having an emergency poncho just in case. You don't know how long some of those storms are going to last and if you're going to be able to get down off the mountain quickly. So yeah, again, just being prepared, having some way to start a fire if you need. That type of stuff is definitely helpful, especially this time of year.
Yeah, and of course, you want to make sure that you have everything snow-wise, too, because if you're heading up high country, we may melt off here in Casper Mountain, but some of the really high-up areas, they've already had snow for a couple of weeks now, so it's probably going to be there a while.
Yeah, you know, last week when we were hauling out that elk, we brought up a game cart, which, you know, the sagebrush was too high for the area that we needed to. But, you know, a lot of times this year when I'm hunting, I'll throw my jet sled and maybe a game cart in there along with my pack, because, you know, if I can pull out a couple quarters on a sled, it's a lot easier than pulling it out on my back in a lot of cases.
Yeah, absolutely. So come on in, check it out right here, Rocky Mountain Discount Sports on CY Avenue here in Casper.
It's Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.
And we are back, Rocky Mountain Discount Sports, where, you know, we're not ruling out the fact that it's not going to warm up again here in the next couple of weeks. And maybe you want to rest up and not take a big hike one day and maybe go out and throw a line in the water.
It's going to happen for sure. I will be on the water a couple more times for sure.
Now, even though you go out and, you know, year-round you can go here in Wyoming, that's one of the coolest parts about living here is, if you can't get on one of the reservoirs, you can get on the river most of the time and do some fishing. And we've got a lot of fun stuff happening. Matter of fact, this last week was a big week for you guys at the Wyoming Walleye Stampede. You announced your dates for 2024.
Those dates are now posted on our Facebook page and soon to be on our website. But, yeah, we're going to be running two tournaments at Glendo again, like normal. We'll do our third event at Boisen, and our championship next year will be held up at Pathfinder.
Which this year you had a week out at Seminole, and Boisen was the championship week.
Just kind of mixing it up a little bit, kind of anticipate, you know, like this last year we knew that we were going to have some low water years up at Pathfinder. Plus, it also worked out because they were doing a bunch of improvements to the boat ramps and some of the parking up there and a bunch of the campgrounds. But I think next year Pathfinder is going to fish, going to have that new lake effect, you know, with the water being low. We've got a lot of new vegetation and growth on the shorelines. And there's been some big fish caught up there already, and it'll continue that way. So I think next year is going to be a pretty good year for fishing at Pathfinder, and it just seemed like a good place to hold the championship.
I was out at the Beacon Club last week, and a guy came up, and he's like, I got to show you this. Pulled out his phone, a 32-inch walleye from Pathfinder.
Yeah, it's, I mean, if a guy is looking for a personal best walleye, I think between Seminole and Pathfinder, I think those are your two best options, honestly. You're going to catch quantities of fish at Glendo, and you're going to catch good quality fish at Boysen. But, you know, Pathfinder and Seminole are two of the largest reservoirs in the entire state, and they get the least amount of fishing pressure out of all of them. So
you've been out still a couple of times over the last couple of weeks. Have you you been surprised by anything that with the way the fish are acting?
You know, me and Noah got out again. We went out last Sunday, and we took my dad, and we took some minnows up there, and we got up there and kind of just bounced around, started inside the marina, and didn't catch any fish in there this time, but we caught 25 or 30 fish, no big ones. Biggest one was probably 19 inches, but my dad wanted some fish to take home, so we got him six fish, and everything, you know, was 14 to 17 inches is what we took home, and we released the one 19 incher. But yeah, it's a great reservoir. I mean, it's you know, it's tough. People worry about all the, you know, low water obstructions and rocks and that kind of stuff. But, you know, if you take your time and, you know, you're not zipping across shorelines, you know, I think you can fish that reservoir pretty safely.
Yeah, and you always say this anyway, but, you know, trust your electronics. If it looks shallow, it's probably shallow.
Yeah, and unfortunately, there's only a few mapping programs that actually have Pathfinder on there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when at Pathfinder, and what I like to do and I have done over the years is that anytime I see an obstruction, you know, just barely see a rock coming over out of the water, I'll just nose up to it, put a waypoint on it, put a big old skull and crossbones, and that tells me that there's something there that I don't want to get too close to.
Right.
And it also means that, you know, during the high waters, there's going to be a structure under the water that I might want to fish too. So a lot of those, you know, that I've marked, I kind of go over, kind of check the depth of them, fish around them, fish on top of them, and then kind of move on. But as you find them, use your electronics to mark those, just like you would a river channel. Just, you know, plug the middle of it, and that way you'll have that reference for next time you go out.
We've had, you know, lots of instances over the last year, really, where the fishing's been really, really good, and we haven't had that many slow times. There have been times where maybe you weren't catching as many as possible, but as we approach ice on, which, you know, after we've had, you know, the last couple of weeks of weather, we'll be having ice on sometime soon. How are you thinking the ice fishing will end up being when it comes into, like, January?
You know, I think Pathfinder is going to still continue to fish the same. It's going to have a lot of little fish, you know, and, you know, the Game and Fish is really encouraging people to take those smaller fish out because there's just an overabundance of fish and a small amount of feed for them. So don't be afraid to take those 12 and 15, 14 inches out of there. I think Glendo is going to fish phenomenal. You know, guys are catching some great crappie. Walleyes have still been fantastic down there. And then Boysen, you know, it's kind of a local favorite anytime. It's got always has generally has good ice conditions, good perch, catfish, ling, walleye, trout. I mean, it's got such a smorgasbord of you know, good game fish that it's definitely, you know, tends to be worth the drive over.
Well, you know, anytime you can get out and fish is a good time, and you should start your fishing trip right here at Rocky Mountain Discount Sports, whether it's for minnows or bait or maybe even are in town and you need to get gear just because you have a couple of days. You know, it's a good place to start.
Yeah, you know, getting Noah on the boat this last week, you know, he's 13 and he does a lot of fishing at, you know, locally. So Yesness Pond is, you know, he takes his kayak and he runs it down there and fishes there. And he'll tell me days where he'll catch 50, 60 fish, you know, a lot of just, you know, hand-sized perch and or a bluegills. But, you know, it keeps a person interested. And then, you know, we still have the duck ponds over there off of Bryan Stock Trail. And if you're just trying to keep your kid entertained for an hour or two, especially once the ice is on, it's a great little place to go. And you'll be surprised at what you catch.
And, of course, if you have any questions, you can always ask them here at Rocky Mountain Discount Sports. They enjoy hearing from you.
Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors with Drew Kirby. If you have a question, want to make a comment, or have an idea for a show topic, message us on the My Country mobile app. Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.